Take a moment now to pray.
God, you are all that we need. Sometimes it's hard for us to remember that. Sometimes it's hard for us to focus just upon you and allow you to be everything. God, as we come on this Pentecost Sunday, a Sunday in which we recognize that you fill us with your spirit, with your power, with your comfort, your strength, your grace, we ask that you might revive us. As we draw a circle around this congregation, we ask that revival might start within each one of us. And that through that revival within us, it might spread to our neighbors, our family, our friends. That we might all lift you up in praise and worship and glory. That our hearts and our minds might be changed. And we might become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. God, this is your time. Come speak to us. Bring us your joy and transform us in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the book, The Acts of the Apostles, the 8th chapter. Although I feel like today we could have read the entire book of Acts, because there's so much there related to Pentecost and the Holy Spirit. But that would take a long time. Actually, in today, in the Jewish community, they actually do that. So on this day, they actually read the Torah. They start and they just keep reading and reading and reading throughout the night. So that would be an appropriate thing for us to do instead of started last night and started reading the book of Acts and just read through the entire thing. But we're not going to do that, so don't worry. We don't have that much time in this space. But we are going to read from Acts 8, 14 through 17. Some of you know there's a chance I would do it, but... So let's hear the word of the Lord. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And God bless his holy word. So there were these three farmers who met every day to pray for rain. See, there had been a very lengthy drought and it was affecting their crop and their expected income for that year. They knelt, they prayed, they looked up to the skies. Eventually, they become discouraged. Anyone experience that? When you prayed for something for a while, you get discouraged. So one morning, this stranger saw them praying and said, "What are you doing?" "Praying for rain," was the response. The stranger looked at them and shook his head. "I don't think so. But we're down on our knees and we're pleading to God." "You're wasting your time," the stranger responded. The farmer quipped back, "What would you do if you were in our shoes?" "I would have brought an umbrella." There was a church planter in the 1980s who was always looking for a solution for his family's financial challenges. So he was a handyman, he was a solution finder, and he felt that responsibility as the husband of the house to figure out how do we meet our financial needs. But there was this cold April day, it was snowing outside, and he just had this moment of inspiration, this moment of faith, and he decided that instead of him trying to find the solution, maybe he should ask God. Who would have thought? So he prayed. He said, "God, we need bread, and we need eggs, and we need milk, and I'm going to wait on you this time. I'm going to wait on you, God. Please supply." So that same afternoon, on this cold, icy, snowy day, this man came to the pastor with this leaky tea kettle and said, "Would you mind fixing this?" It didn't take him much time. It was a simple, quick fix. And then this grateful man insisted that this pastor accept money. And the guy gave him $10, which he could buy his bread, his eggs, and his milk with. So this church planner, after getting his money and going and buying that, he came back to God in prayer, and he said, "Thank you, God, for supplying. You took care of it, and I didn't have to come up with the solution myself." And he heard God said, "Don't you wish you would have asked for half a beef?" Have you ever needed the faith that could move a mountain? Perhaps you've come across obstacles in life. A struggle you can't get past, or an ailment, or a frustration. And you've read in the scripture how it says that all we need is faith as small as a mustard seed. You know, you can tell a mulberry tree to be uprooted and replanted in the sea, or you can tell a mountain to move from here to there, and nothing will be impossible to you. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel like I even have this faith of that little small mustard seed, especially when God says, "Wait. Wait, and wait some more." Today we're gathering to celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, a day that arrived after a very long time of waiting. Around 500-800 BC, Joel, the prophet, predicted it. He prophesied the following words: "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days." 500 years later, those words were finally fulfilled. I don't know about you, but 500 years seems like a long time of waiting. So about 500 years later, Jesus shows up on the scene, and the people witness God's presence in a way that they have never seen God's presence before in Jesus. But then Jesus tells them that he has to leave so that prophecy could be fulfilled. He had to leave so that the Spirit could come and indwell the people in a new way. So Jesus dies, and they watch, and they wait. And on the third day, he rises to life, and they wait. And then Jesus says to them before he ascends to heaven, he says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Wait." So why was this waiting such a big deal? What were they waiting for that was so important that the expectation had to keep growing and they had to show the faith? What was so important? See, in the Old Testament, the Spirit will come on individuals, and you don't know when it's going to come. There's no predictability about it. And the Spirit will come on an individual or a group of people to empower them, often temporarily for purpose, such as to prophesy, to build something, to lead people. Now, Moses was blessed that the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in him for a very lengthy amount of time and empowered him to do all the amazing things that Moses did. But did you know that Moses desired for every human being to share that experience with him? In Numbers, it's actually recorded that Moses said that. He said that, "I wish that all people could be filled with the Spirit as he was." And guess what? On this Sunday, in the Jewish community, they're talking about Moses. And that was Moses' desire. And so the people waited, and they waited, and they waited. And then the Spirit came, and it came. It was big. It was a rushing wind. It was a tongue of fire. The people all were filled, and they were enabled to speak and proclaim that good news in the native tongues of everyone who was present. The church was born, and it was empowered. So we read this story every year about Pentecost, and it always amazes me how you can read the same story in the Bible 100 times, and then all of a sudden one day you read it, and you're like, "Oh, that's a new insight." So that's what happened when I read this. It really, really dawned on me the fact that the big birth of the church, that everyone worshiped God in their first language. Like, Pentecost was a much-awaited multilingual worship service. The people heard God speak in their own tongues. See, this is the thing. This is a Jewish community in Jerusalem. I'm pretty sure most of them could speak Hebrew, right? So he could have just proclaimed the good news in Hebrew, and they all could have understood. But no, even though they had a common language, it wasn't about the common language. It was about the common commitment in Jesus Christ. And for them to make that commitment and to live it out, they needed the work and the power of the Spirit speaking to them in their native language. It was just a hint of what was to come. And then in Acts, we watch Christianity spread. And we discover that Christianity begins to envelope all people. So first, on that Pentecost, 3,000 people joined the church with the outpouring of the Spirit. Could you imagine that? Like, us gathered, and we're worshiping, and then all of a sudden there's like 3,000 people there, and they all come to know Christ. Like, that's amazing. But you know what? It can happen. God can use this group of people to help spread the word to 3,000 people. But then, a short time while later, Peter and John use the name of Christ to heal this man crippled from birth, and 5,000 people come to faith. And then the Holy Spirit starts filling all these believers, and they have this power, and they have this faith, and it's just growing exponentially. Everyone wants to be part of this, right? But then an event happens that changes the course of Christianity's growth. There is this man named Stephen who is faithful. And he stands up and he does the most amazing description of the Bible from beginning to end. Probably one of the best sermons ever preached. And the result is they stone him. And severe persecution begins against the church at that point. And so what do the people do? They scatter. They flee. But God was part of that, because guess what happened? When they fled, when they fled. Thank you. Well, that didn't work. My husband is really laughing back there. So when they fled, it expanded their witness. They got to have relationships with more people, and more people got to hear the good news. And so then we come to today's scripture reading in Acts 8, and Philip is telling the people of Samaria, including some Gentiles, the good news of the kingdom of God, and they accept it, and so they believe. But guess what? They have to wait too. They believe, and they accept Jesus, and they said, we're going to follow, and they get baptized, but they're not filled with the Holy Spirit yet. They have to wait too. And then God sends Peter and John to Samaria, and he prays for these new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. This was a big deal. Because later God makes it very clear to Peter that even though the law says that the Jews were not supposed to associate with Gentiles, God wanted Peter to know that no human being was unclean. No human being was impure. God wanted to make sure that Peter knew and the whole church knew that the Holy Spirit could come on anyone. Every single human being is a candidate for believing in Christ, being baptized, and receiving the Holy Spirit. And that's the birth of the church. So just a little side note. Did you know one of the most effective anti-terrorism tools our government has come up with is a humanitarian aid? So there was a tsunami in Indonesia, and the United States brought humanitarian aid. And after that, this predominantly Muslim country, it tripled their favor towards the United States. So I think like before the humanitarian aid and before the tsunami, maybe 17% of the people felt favorably for the United States. Most felt really bad feelings towards us. But after doing that generous act, it tripled the number of people. It's like at least half of the people were supportive. And that was like the most support we've received from that country. So the thing is, when we look at fellow human beings and we actually see each other, the world changes. And that is what happened when God poured out the Holy Spirit on the church. People began to really see each other. And as each person received the Spirit, they were filled with boldness to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God and the good news that Jesus rose from the dead. So, are any of you struggling to have the faith of at least a mustard seed? So in the past, I used to think that to have the faith of a mustard seed, it meant that I had to believe in the vision, the mountain that needed moving, the miraculous healing, the church building that needed built. But what I've come to realize is that that faith of a mustard seed isn't about having faith in the outcome. It isn't in the outcome of the ability to move that mountain or for that thing to change or the desired result. But that doesn't have to be where my faith is. My faith of a mustard seed has to be in God, the one who makes the outcome possible. Does that make sense? So I may not have enough faith that the mountain will move when I tell it to, but I do have enough faith, and I believe that God is able to move that mountain. And so I place my trust in God. And then God will move that mountain if God chooses to. So when I pray for someone's healing, I don't know if God's going to say yes or no. But my faith doesn't have to be that God heals the person. My faith has to be that God is able to heal that person. And I'm trusting God to make the decision. And I'm saying, God, I know you are able to heal that person. I don't know if you are or you aren't, but I believe you are able. And so I'm asking you to do it. See that shift in focus? In the book of Acts, we read over and over again about how people believe in Jesus and the message about him, and how people are being baptized here and there, and then they're being filled with the Holy Spirit. But this is what I want you to know. It doesn't all necessarily happen at once. So sometimes it all happens at once. Somebody says, I believe, there's water there, I get baptized, the Spirit fills me. Wow, that was awesome, all in one day. And there's other times where people repent and they baptize, but later they believe in Jesus. And either at the time they believe in Jesus, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, or even later, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. There's times where people believe first and then are baptized. So these three things, belief, baptism, and being filled with the Spirit, they can happen in any order. They can happen all at once. Two can happen at once and one a separate time. But the three of them together do something. They change us. So today I want to ask you if you have received all three. Have you believed in the good news of the kingdom of God? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you believed that he really rose from the dead and so you will rise too? Second, have you been baptized as an infant, as an adult, as a child? And third, have you received the Holy Spirit? So if not, then perhaps today, this Pentecost Sunday, is the day for you to believe, for you to make a decision to be baptized, for you to invite someone who is already filled with the Holy Spirit to pray for you to be filled with the Spirit. After people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they cannot help but proclaiming the gospel. There's something that happens when that happens in you that you get so excited you just have to tell everybody about Jesus, because that's what the Spirit does in us. It empowers us to spread the word. Anyway, so next Sunday, we're doing a special, this is Revival Week. So worship team decided to call it Revival Week. We decide we're gonna make a whole week of Pentecost. So we're starting today. And then during this week, I'm gonna be sending out emails, if you're on the newsletter email list, with questions for you to ponder. If you're not on that list, I ask you to take time every day to just talk with God and ask God, God, how do you want to start revival in me? What does that look like? Okay? Ask God, how today do you want to start revival within me? On Saturday, we have this movie that's a beautiful story of faith. Lisa and I haven't seen it, but we've heard the description and we think it's going to be really inspirational. And she was led by the Spirit to do it this week. So, hey, that's interesting. And then next Sunday is going to be so exciting because you all are invited to share your testimony, to share your witness about what God has been doing in your life. You're also invited. There will be a baptismal bowl. I know we do immersion, but I know I've heard people say that it was a child when I was baptized. It's been many years, and I kind of went astray, and I've come back. I want to reconfirm. I want to claim that baptism. So we're going to have a baptismal bowl where you can place your hands in it, and we can reaffirm that baptism that happened previously in your life. We're also going to have opportunities for you to have someone who's filled with the Spirit to pray that you might also be filled with the Spirit. You're also invited, if you have a musical gift or a creative talent you want to share during worship, let Janelle know or let me know. You might have a painting you want to show and say, this painting expresses my faith, or something like that. I have a poem I've written. I have a song I want to sing. There'll also be an opportunity to come forward and say, I want to be baptized. In the summer, we'll have a baptism service. And you can come forward and we'll say, okay, you'll be part of that baptism service this Sunday. So if there's somewhere that you feel called to being a part of the service, I ask that you could let me know by Wednesday, preferably. If you can't let me know till Saturday, that's fine. But letting Janelle or I know before Wednesday will help us to kind of organize the service. But you're invited to do that. Or if you know somebody who you would like to invite to do that. It's going to be an exciting Sunday next Sunday. So before I conclude this sermon, I also want to let you know that even though I'm telling you to wait till next Sunday, you don't have to wait till next Sunday. God's present and he is here. And so if God's calling you for any of those today, you're welcome to come forward as we sing a song. Let's stand and sing.